John, thank you. Just if anyone feels the Lord speaking to them, perhaps, and would like some prayer, either for past hurts to be healed or for thinking through how you might give your life to the Lord in a more full way, there will be some prayer ministry in this back corner over here after the service. So please do avail yourself of that afterwards. So we're not changing gear so much as just shifting course slightly as we come to look at God's words this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 19 to 23. I'm going to read them first and then we'll think about what they say. Quentin, my beautiful assistant, is holding out Bibles. If anybody would like a copy of the written version. Probably know if you've read anything of Corinthians that Paul basically is defending himself against criticism all the way through these two letters. And in this chapter he's been, or leading up to this chapter, been sort of declaring what rights he has as an apostle, but actually how he's prepared to lay them down for the sake of others and the sake of the gospel. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 19, it's on page 1150 in the Church Bible, if you're looking at the Church Bible. Verse 19, though I am free and belong to no one, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So unless you've been on a different planet this week, you probably have noticed, or these last few weeks, noticed the Paralympics have been taking place. And I can't say I've sort of sat glued to it, but this week, again, you can't have missed, as they've returned home, how they've been interviewed. And some of the things have been quite inspiring, haven't they? As less able-bodied people, less abled from birth, or perhaps less abled through an accident, or whatever's happened to them. And we've seen them, haven't we, overcoming and competing and winning. I think that really inspired me. It was that guy with the table tennis, you see him, no arms, playing table tennis with his bat in his mouth. Just incredible. And this week, I particularly struck as they came home and they were interviewed about just this ambition within them, this drive within them, this you can achieve anything if you put your mind to it sort of mentality, which is just came out from them, didn't it? Do you know, it almost moved me to get up from my settee. But I might have spilt the mug of tea that was so neatly resting on my stomach. The Lord's blessed me with a stomach now at my age, and the tea just rests nicely on me. But all of this, really, I was thinking about this week as I was thinking about this morning's passage. It's the third in our little series. It's the last, in fact, in our little pre-alpha series, which we've entitled "The Real Action Adventure." Andy's come up with these ideas. And we've had, this is the third, as I say, the first one was Terminator, Judgment Day, and the fact that we will face judgment one day. And the only way, in fact, to avoid that judgment is to be in Christ, have your name written in the book of life. I think last week, Russell, Mission Possible, who can save the world? And the answer, of course, is Jesus. So judgment is the problem, and Jesus is the answer. And today's is who dares wins. We have a vital mission. Do we dare to do it? What the Bible says about winning the lost. You know that bit in the news before Match of the Day starts, when the presenter says, if you don't want to know the score, turn away now, go and make a cup of tea, put your fingers in your ears, that kind of thing. Well, here we are, that moment, right? But you know the score, don't you? We know the score. How are people going to hear about Jesus? How are they going to hear that they need to be saved from the judgment? And the answer is, someone is going to have to tell them. Eek. We are going to have to tell them. I wonder how you feel about that. Stern-faced, most of you. And you know, this morning's not meant to burden, except in a good way. It's not meant to overwhelm. But it's meant to inspire, to think about how we can actually fulfill this challenge. And you see, Paul had grasped this concept. He knew the score. And like these Paralympians that we've been looking at this week on the news, he had an ambition which fired him. And what we're thinking about this morning is whether that same ambition fires us. Firstly, he had a mindset which undergirded everything else. Did you catch it just at the end of those verses? I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Now, there's two aspects to the gospel, which we've been thinking about really over the last couple of years, I think, here in church. But we've seen it in these last 2 weeks as well. The gospel is quite simple, isn't it? In one aspect. One day we will be judged. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all found wanting, really, because of the lives we live and the things we think and the things we say. And the only escape is to have our name in the book of life. And that happens through faith in Christ. And the gospel then, isn't it, is that story of Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who became a man, who became a human being in every way, just like we are, except, of course, he was sinless. And as the perfect specimen of the human race, he offered his life as the perfect sacrifice for us all. He took the blame for our failings and our rebellion and our sin. He took the punishment that we deserved when he died on the cross. But of course he rose again and he's alive today. And if we ask him, he'll come and live in our hearts. And he cleanses us from all our sins and he changes us from within. We become new people. We're born again and we're saved from judgment. That's one aspect of the gospel, isn't it? But the other part of the gospel, of course, that's one part of the gospel, and it's to do with the past, as Derek was praying. You know, our past is forgiven. Those things that we did are forgiven, and a new life in Christ begins. And the other part of the gospel is how our life is lived today, because life is different with Christ within. And we grow more like him, and we grow deeper with love for him and for others. And we want others to have what we've got. I do all this, he says, for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. It's both a blessing to him as it's a blessing to everyone else. See, Paul knew this, didn't he? Lived that life, hadn't he, of persecuting young believers, the young church. And he met Christ and his life was transformed and turned round. And he became an apostle of the church. And it's that transformation that he wants other people to have. That's his mindset. He does these things for the sake of the gospel. He has a motive then, based on this platform that he stands, this mindset that he has a motive which drives him. I mean, it's said here a couple of times. Verse 19, towards the end of verse 19, to win as many as possible. And verse 22, so that by all possible means I might save some. He uses two words here, to win people and to save people. You know, he's just developing the thought, isn't he? He wants to win people to Christ and for Christ. And that suggests, doesn't it, that word win suggests there is a battle that needs to be won. It's not always, as you'll know, straightforward to bring people to Christ. There are barriers in people's minds to becoming a Christian or to becoming a follower of Christ. Sometimes it's an ignorance of the story, an ignorance of the gospel. Sometimes it's not being aware of the need they have to avoid judgment. Sometimes it's a mistrust of the church or its leaders or you out there. Sometimes it's just big questions. You know those big questions. Why is there so much suffering in the world if God is good? And so on, so forth. See, there is this need to win them. But it's also to save them. This isn't about Paul. This isn't Paul saying, look at my prowess, as an apostle. This isn't Paul making notches on his belt every time somebody comes to the Lord. This is about saving people. This is about their eternal destiny. See, we need to be saved from judgment, from hell, from eternal torment. That's what drives him, to make sure that people don't face that for all eternity. Now, I can't get too excited about Archimedes' principle. A body totally or partially immersed in fluid is subject to an upward force equal in magnitude to the weight of fluid it displaces. But Archimedes got excited, didn't he? You know the story? He's lying in the bath, playing with his plastic ducks in the bath. Pushed it down, and he thought, wow, look at that. This body, partially immersed in this fluid, is subject to an upward force equal in magnitude to the weight of fluid that it's displacing. And the story goes, I don't know whether it's true, the story goes, he raced out, didn't he, naked, shouting, Eureka, I've got it. You see, it was such good news to him that everyone needed to know immediately this good news. And isn't our good news so much more interesting and relevant and life-changing? And the good news is that we can keep our clothes on to share it. But you see, it's that kind of motive, it's that kind of drive that Paul had. And I put it to you that we need. He had a mindset for the sake of the gospel. He had a motive to win and save some. And then what about his means? And you know, his means here is quite simple. So, if you don't want to know the score, stick your fingers in the ears. Here's the first thing about what Paul says about his means. Verse 19, though I'm free and belong to no one, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. He's prepared to give up all his rights as an apostle. It's what he's been writing about in these verses before. You know, he's prepared to give up all his earthly ambition, which I think is where some of these verses came from, didn't they, around about that verse about giving up ambition. He's prepared to give up everything to win as many as possible. So what does that look like? Well, it's just there, quite simply. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, again, just expounding that thing about the Jews, that the Jews were under the law. I became like one under the law. So he would meet with the Jews and he would speak to them about things they understood and how actually Jesus could transform those things that they understood. So those not having the law, so Gentiles, he became like one not having the law. So he'd go to talk with them and he'd talk about other gods and other ways of thinking and he'd get into their minds that way around. Into the weak. And if you read back, you'll see about those who eat food, sacrifice to idols, and all that kind of stuff. The whole argument is there. He becomes weak. He gets alongside them and understands where they're coming from so we can press the good news into their hearts. I've become all things to all people so that all possible, by all possible means, I might save some. So basically, and here's the task for us all. He got alongside people. He befriended people. So what do you reckon? You know, where are you? Where are you in your mindset? Somewhere along the line, do you get up in the morning? You know, what gets you up in the morning? What wakes you up? What drives you? What ambition have you got? And I know there are ambitions for your family and for your work and for your sport and those kind of things. But is there something in there somewhere that says the gospel is needed by people in this land and throughout the world? And what about, you know, your motive? Is there that desire to win and save some people? Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope we've got time and space for those two things. And the means to do it, then, according to these verses, is simply, in my opinion here, folks, to make friends with people. See, it's something we can all do. A few years ago, I came across a movement which was called Each One, Reach One. Each One, Reach One. It was a simple principle that each one of us, over the course of a year, okay, that's 365 and a bit days, would reach just one person. You had a whole year to reach just one person. It doesn't sound much, does it? But just listen to these statistics, right? See, we tend to work on the addition principle as churches. We add people to our church. So let's just think about that. Imagine in our wildest dreams, 1,000 people came to Alpha this year. And then 1,000 people next year. And then 1,000 people the year after. After 33 years, there would be 33,000 people, wouldn't there? That's the addition principle, okay? Well, each one, reach one, works on the multiplication principle. So if I reach one person this year, then next year there'll be two of us. Okay? One times one equals two. No, it doesn't, does it? That's yeah. You get where I am, there's two. Okay? Now, if each of those two people, so that's me again, and that person that I've reached, reach one person each, so the next year there's four. Okay? So we're going multiplying here somewhere along the line. And then if those four people each reach one in the next year, so the next year there's eight. Now, again, it sounds like slow progress, but you do the maths for yourself, and you can do this through the rest of the sermon if you want. From me reaching one person as described, by year 15, they'll be just short of 33,000 people. So that's half the time taken by the other way. And by year 33, any ideas, anybody, how many people there'll be? Anybody done 33 factorial or whatever it is in maths? No? 8.5 billion people just from me in 33 years. Just by each of us reaching one person and then each person reaching another person every year. Imagine that. It's amazing, isn't it? But it's so simple. Do you see? Each of us reach one. Simple. And it starts by getting alongside people and making friends. And this is key. How many times at church have you heard it said, and it's often Celia, and she's often getting discouraged by it, as we've heard this morning, we've got Alpha coming up. Invite your non-Christian friend. There's a quiz night coming up. Invite your non-Christian friends. There's a men's breakfast coming up. Invite your non-Christian friends. There's an Elvis evening. Remember that? Coming along. Yeah. To all three of us who turned up for that. Invite your non-Christian friends. And you think, you sit there, I know what it's like, you sit there and you think, I haven't got any non-Christian friends because I spend all my time at church. I'm right, aren't I? Yeah. So listen very carefully. I'll say this only once. If if you're going to become a slave to people so that by all means we can save some, you're going to have to get alongside them. And if that means missing something at church so that you can begin the process of getting alongside people and making friends with people, then go for it. Is that okay, Steve, my fellow elder here? Don't need two of us in the room. I need to qualify what I'm saying, right? Sundays at church is a must. A small group in the week is a must because that's where you develop your thinking and your theology and your knowledge of the Bible. And using the gift that God's given you in the life of the church is a must. Those three things are musts. But that still leaves some evenings and some part of the weekend spare to make friends. And how are you going to do that? How are you going to make friends? Well, what do you enjoy doing? This is where we depart a little bit from scripture here. What do you enjoy doing? Think about it for a minute. What do you enjoy doing that you don't get the chance to do now because you're always in church? So join with others who do that thing. I think for a long time, haven't we, as a church, and churches generally have grasped this need to have, you know, level one stuff, as we used to call it in the old days. So there's level four, which is, you know, preach the gospel. There's level three, which is like maybe alpha. There's level two, which mentions Jesus. And there's level one, where the church has events and things like that, where Jesus isn't even mentioned, this friendship evangelism. And there's been some success. But so often, those things become church-based groups full of church people, just something else that you're expected to turn out to. So what I'm saying here is that perhaps we need to change this. Some of you may be here already, I don't know. But if you like I do, if you like watercolour painting, for example, rather than start a watercolour painting group at the church, go and join the local one. Go and join the one that's already running. I have done that, folks. I've joined the Barford Art Group. So what do you like doing? See, we might as well make it enjoyable, might we? But being slaves to people, but we can enjoy being slaves to people. And there's endless possibilities. You know, what sports do you like doing? What crafts do you like doing? What reading do you like to do? Photography, chess, flower arranging, charity work. There is so much stuff out there, and there's something there that you would enjoy doing. Go and join with people and do that. Because now, then, you'll be getting alongside people and making friends. Do you see? It's that simple. So it's about getting alongside people means, but remembering that there's the mindset and the motive for the sake of the gospel to win and save people. So how are you going to introduce your new friends to Jesus? How is it going to work? Well, you need, firstly, to begin where they are. This is what Paul's about here, do you see? You know, take an interest in people. Get to know these people. Ask them what makes them tick. What issues are there in their lives at the moment? You're just being friendly, and that's fine. Begin where they are. Secondly, is to be who you are. You know, don't try and be what you're not. Don't try and be this plaster saint, you know, with a shiny halo and all that kind of stuff. Because actually you're not that person. Don't try and be holier than thou. Don't try and be pious. Because your greatest asset is actually your humanness and your honesty and your integrity as that. It's okay to share your doubts. It's okay to talk about your struggles in life and with faith, because you'll have them. It's okay to say you don't know when you start talking about the big questions in life and why does God allow suffering in the world. It's okay to say, well, I don't know. Just be who you are. That's the way God has made you. That you're a real saint like that. And he's made you like that for just these occasions. So by now, hopefully, you've got some people in life who are more than just acquaintances. They're your friends, and that's great. Might not be in time for this year's Alpha, but let's think about for next year's Alpha. You see, but our hope is to take it further, isn't it? We want to take it further for the sake of the gospel. We want to take it further to win some and to save some. And so thirdly, I just say, be prepared. Look for opportunities. Just be on the lookout for where God might be working in somebody's life, and you're able to join in with God in what he's doing in their life. So when somebody says, what did you do at the weekend? Talk about going to church. Tell them how wonderful the sermon was. Or tell them how rubbish the sermon was. It's okay to do that, okay? Well, you know what I mean. But if it just brings out something about how you might live your life and what you've learned or what you've enjoyed. If people are opening up about their struggles or their difficulties or their problems, respond. Practical help. Bake them a cake. Talk to them. Listen to them. Take them for a coffee. Maybe, if it's appropriate, you could offer to pray. And perhaps not there and then in Costa, but, at home, say, I'll pray for you at home. And then follow it up. Ask questions about where people find their strength. Ask people what their ambitions are and their hopes are. Ask people what their beliefs are and their values are. I know you need to foster this friendship to get to this point, but we need to be prepared and on the lookout for opportunities. But we need to be their friend first. And you can be prepared by knowing your story. How you came to faith is a great story. And it's unique, isn't it, to you? And how faith helps you every day is a great story. And so we need to be aware how God is helping us every day if we're going to be able to share that with other people. And look, if you're going to ask questions of people, then you might need to have some idea of the answers. It's good to know your Bible. It's good to know some basic answers to some of the big questions, like about suffering. And some of the books out there have got some answers in them. You see, need to be prepared. Look, there's an equal danger here. This is not about looking for people and painting a target on their forehead and thinking, I'm going to get you with the gospel. I'm going to befriend you so that I can get you with the gospel. That's not right, is it? But equally, the other danger is to make friends and to slip into, that friendship and actually not have the intention somehow of drawing people to Christ. So it's that fine balance we walk. So Alpha starts on Tuesday, and there is space on Alpha, and there is time, therefore, between now and then to invite people along. This is big, I get that, but it's just so simply beautiful, isn't it? And at the end of the day, who dares wins. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Lord Jesus, we do thank you, as we've sung in our worship this morning, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. And Lord, we acknowledge before you, Lord, that our lives are so different now. Lord, you've turned us round. Lord, you've transformed us from within. Lord, you are making us more and more like you day by day. And Lord, we do want those we know, those we love, those we don't know yet, Lord, to experience what we've experienced. So help us, Lord, to draw alongside people, to make friends with them, and ultimately, Lord, as you guide, to share the good news about Jesus Christ with them. We pray this in your name.
So just a reminder.